Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 199, entitled, How to Become More Productive, Less Stressed, and Happier by Figuring Out the Perfect Blend of Work-Life Balance, I chat with James Sudikow. James Sudikow is an author and business consultant, and in today's episode, James talks about finding that elusive and oftentimes seemingly impossible perfect blend of work-life harmony. He dives into his backstory of being an entrepreneur who, like many of us, struggled with successfully balancing his work and his personal life and how he was ultimately able to turn things around. He talks about how he made some dramatic changes to his day-to-day routine and shares with us his many and powerful steps for fixing his issues with productivity at work and happiness at home. If you're wondering how you too can become more productive, less stressed, and just generally happier in your day-to-day life at work and at home, check this episode out now. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. At last, the time has finally come for me to step on the big screen and reveal to the world the man behind the mic, to show the wizard and the land of Oz, to showcase the man behind the elite, I think that's enough. The time has finally come to do video. Yep, I'm excited if you cannot already tell, and that's because I've been wanting to do video for a while now. Actually, a few years, to be quite honest, and finally, I'm getting the chance to do it. For the last few months, I've been working behind the scenes on setting up a studio, mastering the camera, lighting, and sound setup, and of course, most importantly of all, coming up with the Elite Man content that will blow your mind and help you become the best man you can be, of course. Equal parts entertainment and informative, the Elite Man YouTube channel is going to be incredible. I'll be covering all the topics I cover on this very podcast, just in a different format, and one that you just might like even more. The Elite Man Podcast is here to stay, so don't worry about that. But now, we're adding video and bringing in much more kick-ass content. How much exactly? Well, we'll be dropping a brand new Elite Man video 4 times every week. That's right. 4 times every single week. Tune in for a 5 to 10 minute video every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday every single week starting on December 17th. So mark your calendars right now. That's a Monday, by the way. Our video topics will, of course, include health, fitness, dating, confidence, style, leadership, business, and everyday manly know-how to help you level up and become the elite man you were meant to be. It's going to be sick. Stay tuned for more info and be ready to tune in on Monday, December 17th for our first video. Again, mark your calendars. Monday, December 17th, the Elite Man YouTube channel will be live. There's nothing better about the holiday season than unwrapping a brand new phone until you get hit with a brand new monthly bill. Big wireless providers can really suck the joy out of the holidays, so this year, don't just upgrade your phone, upgrade your wireless provider and switch to Mint Mobile. For a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering the best holiday deal in wireless you've ever seen. 3 months of service for only $20. Yep, that's right. $20 total gets you 3 months of wireless service with 5 gigabytes of 4G LTE data each month, plus unlimited talk and text. Also, you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your old phone number along with all your existing contacts. Mint Mobile runs on the nation's fastest, most advanced LTE network. So ditch your old wireless bill and start saving with Mint Mobile. If you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee, so there's no worries there. You can try Mint Mobile risk-free. Take advantage of this Mint Mobile holiday deal before it's gone. Get 3 months of wireless for $20 and get the plan shipped to your door for free by going to mintmobile.com/elite. That's mintmobile.com/elite. That's 3 months of service for just $20 at mintmobile.com/elite. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is James Sudikow, the author of the book Out of the Blur, A Delirious Dad's Search for the Holy Grail of Work-Life Balance. James, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm excited. Dude, we were just kind of chatting a few minutes before the call. Took a little while to figure things out here with the with the Skype recorder and everything, but we got things going. But yeah. I'm excited, man. Your book is really cool. I told you before, a few minutes ago, that I really like your style of writing. And I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing yet, but I did go through it a little bit. And immediately, I like your writing style. It's really cool. I also love the concept of work-life balance and trying to figure that out. So just take, yeah, you know, 30 seconds to a minute or so, just fill in a couple gaps and give us the gist of how you came up with this. Like, what do you do? Is you're an author, you're a business consultant. How do you figure out the key to work-life balance?
I'm not sure I have, which but I think I'm a lot better than I was. And first of all, thanks for the thoughts about the tone of the book. It's definitely meant to be hopefully practical and useful, but you know, there's a lot of ridiculous stories in my own life that I kind of used as part of this thing to figure out, okay, what could I do differently? And basically what I ended up doing was something kind of strange. I was having so many challenges with it. You know, I run my own business. I'm married. We're raising four kids of all different ages. And like, I just constantly felt completely and totally dilapidated, as my wife would tell me. And I said, this isn't the way to do it. And so I said, you know, I started reading all the stuff that was out there and was almost demoralized by it, because I read, you know, I Googled it and I found all these articles, and many of them just kind of said, hey, work-life balance is a myth. It's dead. Like, there's no such hope for anybody. And I was like, I can't live in that world. And so I had this kind of strange thought out of left field. I do business transformation consulting, which is basically, you know, when companies are trying to, you know, totally change what they do. And the way that we do it is kind of a simple methodology. We just do a current state, and then we figure out what their future state is. And then we figure out all of the like processes and behaviors and things that they need to do to change to align with their future state. And I had this kind of random thought. I wondered if I could just like lift that away and like drop it on work-life balance and see if it worked. And that's kind of what I did. And that's what I talk about in the book. I basically took a business transformation methodology, as totally impersonal as that sounds for something as personal as work-life balance. I dropped it on there. And I tried to do it, and it actually worked in a lot of ways.
Very interesting. How long ago was that you figured this out, and when did you start applying it to actually see that it works?
Yeah, so I basically went through like a year to 18-month transformation of my own, right? I actually started this whole thing 18 months ago. I did like, I actually documented a ridiculous day in my life, which I talk about in the book. I call it a day in the life in the ludicrous lane, which was just absolute chaos. Like, my life was total chaos. And I documented a day in the life, which is part of some of the things that we do with when we're helping companies transform, because it gives you this like way to look at something and say, wow, I can't believe that that's really what I'm doing every day. Because many of us live our lives, but we don't have the time to like look at them like we're watching a TV show and say, wow, that's what I'm doing. And so I did that. And then that became kind of the basis for saying, wow, I got a lot of opportunities here to do some stuff differently. And then I kind of said, well, then what do I want my work-life balance to look like? I had never even asked myself that question before. And then I had to figure out all these behaviors that I needed to line up and these traps that I was falling into. And I came up with eight of them. And I talked to a lot of other dads and even moms and people that weren't parents. And a lot of us were falling into the same behavioral traps. And so I went on that path for like 12 to 18 months to kind of get to where I'm at now, which is a much better place. Like I said, I wouldn't call it a magic bullet, but it's certainly a lot better than I was.
Okay, cool. So real quickly, what are the eight traps there that you talk about in the book?
Yeah, so the first trap is what I call the trap of the superhero syndrome, which is basically the detrimental effects of thinking you can do everything, which is a huge trap when you think about work-life balance, because it's just not possible. The second one is the trap of what I call artificial urgency, which is where we tend to make things urgent even if they're not. And that creates all sorts of manufactured stress, which doesn't help us with work-life balance. The third one I found, and I was a violator of every single one of these things. I'm curious how many you are or
yeah,
not. But
I'm sure
the third one was what I call the trap of undefined boundaries, which is essentially like what a lot of people talk about these days is work-life blend or integration, which is, hey, forget about lines. We have technology that makes this accessible all the time. Just let it all come in all the time and don't try to separate work from life. And what that causes is all sorts of chaos of people trying to multitask and like not being able to kind of focus on things, which creates its own stress. The fourth one is what I call the trap of no buffer zone, which is just not leaving yourself time for the unanticipated or the unexpected. And I don't know what your life situation is, but when you have kids, every day is unexpected and unanticipated. And when you leave no time for it, it just has this weird cascading effect on how balanced or imbalanced you feel. Which then led me to the fifth trap, which I called the trap of constant triage, which is kind of living a reactive life. And it goes back to that day in the life concept of basically, you know, when we don't take a second to actually think about how we want to live each day, that's where work-life balance kind of feels like it's working or not, is in the minutes and the hours of every day, and not kind of thinking proactively about how does that, what does that need to look like and what do I need to do. The next trap is what I called the trap of chasing time. That's a really bizarre concept, but what it really is, and almost everybody I talked to did this one, it's kind of like where you're doing something, but you're thinking about something else. So for example, if I'm at work, I'm thinking about like the stuff I got to do with my kids. And if I'm playing with my kids, I'm thinking about the emails that I got to send for work. And I'm like, I'm never in the same time zone as what I'm actually doing, which totally sucks because then you're not enjoying anything. And it's usually the result of having too much things to do because you're like doing what I call next thing thinking, where you're always thinking about the next thing instead of the thing you're actually doing. And then the last two traps are the trap of late nights. And you know, there's this one is always up for debate when I talk with people because there are many like late night people who say, hey, my life works just fine. I just wasn't one of them. And so I said, you know, when I stayed up later, the problem is when you have kids, you know, the next morning doesn't care that you stayed up late. They got school, they got times, they get up early, and they don't care that you were up late doing your work. You still got to get up and roll with it. And so it just has this like cascading effect on your ability to kind of function. And then the last one is what I call the trap of forgetting yourself, the trap of leaving yourself out. And that's this notion of, I don't know, I found when I became a dad, I had all this stuff I was doing for work. I had all this stuff I was doing for everybody else in my life, but I kind of left myself. I became the odd man out of my own work-life balance equation. And everybody needs a little bit of that, you know, personal time to do whatever it is that gets them kind of regenerated and rejuvenated. And it's easy to forget to do that stuff. So those are the eight traps
cool.
that I found. Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely, a few of them for sure stick out, especially the chasing time one. The late nights, that's a big one. I'm actually trying to cut back on my schedule and sleep earlier, like every night, just cut a few minutes off so I can get more back into, because I'm a night owl, but, and I probably will always be a night owl, and I don't have any kids or anything right now, so I mean, I'm sure that's going to change at some point where they're going to force me to not be a night owl anymore, but I tend to get stuck in the nights of, you know, just deep into the night working, because I feel like that's kind of my zone for like creativity or whatever, not even consciously, but just like get stuck into it and then, you know, just get a shitload done. But it's like, I know it's really bad for you. And I know, like, you know, being healthier in terms of overall health and just, you know, being more aligned with society, that you gotta cut back to a more normal schedule. So
yeah,
definitely stick out.
Yeah.
But all right. So going back to, I want to dive into a few of these more specifically in a moment. But what was your life? I'm curious, what was your life like before you started implementing these things? Like, how did your day-to-day life look like? You said it was ludicrous, it was chaos, crazy all the time. Well, how did that look? And then how does it look now?
Yeah, so so my life before I started doing this, I didn't have a bad life. I have an awesome wife, I have great kids, I have a great job, I'm running my own company, it's an awesome thing to do. The problem was that my solution for work-life balance wasn't really a solution, and it was simply that I was going to do everything. And so what my daily life looked like, you know, when you run your own business, you got like 1,000 things to do every day that you feel like you have to do. And then you have like 1,000 things in your personal life, you know, that you want to do as well. You don't want to be an absentee husband or dad or any of that stuff. So every day was literally me juggling 1,000 things for work and 1,000 things for life. And that's what my life was like. So, and there were days where it was literally like back and forth, like a ping pong table. I would have a day where I'd get up in the morning, I'd take my 3-year-old to speech therapy and then over to swimming. And then I'd have to drop him off and run over to a client meeting and then get over to, we have a high school kid that we're legal guardians for. He's one of the two that we're raising, get over to his volleyball game in the afternoon, get back home, finish my PowerPoint presentations. It was just like scattered. And that was kind of a very prototypical day for me, was up super early, bouncing back and forth between the 1,000 things in life and the 1,000 things in work, and then like getting to bed late and then wasted, tired, and then doing it all again, like wash, rinse, repeat the next day.
Yeah. No, that definitely sounds a lot like a lot of my days. A lot of my work days are kind of like that, just running all over the place. But, you know, I'm going to dive into some of the things that you recommend in the book and some of the things you do now, because I think they're very important, because it seems like you figured a lot of this out. Yeah. And, you know, for personal reasons, I want to figure a lot of this out myself. But one thing I did probably about 6 months ago was to start writing things overnight. Like, so right before bed, right before I fall asleep, I have a little list of just every little thing I want to do the next day. So, like, my whole day's now mapped out for the night. And I don't stick to the list, like, religiously 100% everything has to get done. But it gives me a really good idea of the things I want to get done and how much time I'm going to have for each task. So the next day I wake up, it's like, all right, I already have all these things to do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm much more on task and I'm getting so much more done. So how's your life looking like now? Are you like that too? Like, productivity's like through the roof. You're much happier, more content, more relaxed, and not running around like a chicken with its head cut off.
Yeah. Well, here's the irony. Here's the irony of it. And it's funny that you talk about lists. So one of the things for each of those eight traps, I came up with like what I would hope would be super practical solutions for each of them. And one of them, this trap of the superhero syndrome, like I used to keep a list too, and I still do. My lists were ridiculous. I would have like on average 25 or 26 things to do a day.
Wow.
And some of them were little easy check the boxers, and some of them were really like big things. And when I look back on that, I almost laugh at myself saying, what the hell was I doing? How was I even possibly thinking? And me being someone who's going to get it done, I got it done every day, but at like my own expense, right? I was the collateral damage of it. So what was interesting was I still keep a list, but I actually implemented like something that we do for businesses all the time, which is what we call, you know, ruthless prioritization. And the companies that I work with that do it best are really good at it. They basically say, hey, look, you know what? There's all these things we could try to do every day, but we're not going to do all those things. We're going to do like five of them. And that's all we're going to do. And I tried that for myself, right? I basically said, okay, what if I actually took my 25-item list and reduced it to three things for work and three things for life? And that's all I tried to do that day. And that was huge. And at first I was like, you got to be kidding me. So now I'm going to be like totally less awesome because I'm taking like 17 things and I'm not getting them done. Is like my business going to fall apart or my kids going to feel like I'm not being a good parent? And ironically, nothing changed except I felt a lot better. And I felt like I have more time and I was like more rested. So that kind of ruthless prioritization of what actually ended up on my list was huge, right? And I kind of said, what are the mission critical things that I have to do? And that's what I'm going to do today. And what was interesting about that is that created more buffer in my life because I wasn't trying to cram 25 things in. I was not doing next thing thinking either because I didn't have to. I said, hey, I only got six things I got to do today, right? I don't need to be thinking about the emails while I'm playing with my kid because I got buffer time. So I can play with my kid and I can enjoy playing with my kid. And then I'll go do the emails and I'll enjoy doing the emails.
Mm. Yeah, no, I love that. And you're right. When I noticed the lists that are shorter that I have, I feel like those days are much more productive. They're more effective and they're more productive in getting things done. The other ones just kind of overwhelm you. It's like that overstimulus of things and you kind of go crazy thinking, oh, I have to do this, and this. And then, every once in a while I have those days where I have like 20, 25 things and I do get those done, but I can't keep that up every single day. I can't do those, you know, 5 days a week and have that crazy list. Every once in a while I'll have a crazy list and I will get those done. But I feel like you're right. Like the shorter the list is, the more content you are and the more in the long run you're going to get done because you're not going to burn yourself out.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I found. It was kind of funny because I actually found that I was like better at everything I was doing because I just didn't try to get it all done. And you're right, like every once in a while you just got a crazy day where you're like, I got 20 things to do. But literally it was 25 things every damn day. I was like, I'm killing myself. I was literally killing myself.
Yeah, that is a lot. And man, I'm thinking even my big list, they're probably not even 20-25. They're probably like 15 or so. And like that's still a lot. Like you're saying, it's three, you know, work and three personal life stuff that you want to really focus on. I think that's a good place to start. Is there any other tips that you recommend for whacking some of these eight traps out and, you know, knocking them out of your life so you can be more both obviously productive but also happiness, because we're talking about balance here.
Totally. Yeah. So I actually found when I nailed the first three traps that there was like this really cool, unanticipated cascading positive effect, right? So we just talked about the trap of the superhero syndrome and what I tried to do there in terms of like really being ruthlessly prioritizing. But the other two that I really found had the biggest impact when combined with that one was this trap of artificial urgency and the trap of undefined boundaries. And so like with artificial urgency, you know, that's an interesting one because most of us work in a world where there's a lot of urgency. Like with my clients, everybody's urgent. Like there's urgent stuff that just has to get done. But I actually created this kind of weird concept of an urgency filter. I kind of came up with these two very objective questions that I asked myself to see, like pressure test, if you will, like the things that I'm making urgent that absolutely I need to get done today, do they really? And when I actually did it, I found that like 75% of the things that I was ascribing urgency to weren't really urgent. Like my business was not going to fall apart. I wasn't going to lose a client. My kid wasn't going to die. Right? Everybody was going to be okay. And my wife wasn't going to divorce me. Right? And what I found was, hey, I'm making things urgent unnecessarily, which then basically I was manufacturing my own stress. And who needs that? Because that's what makes you feel totally imbalanced. So once I started asking these what I called urgency filter questions, I just started like chucking unnecessarily urgent items right off my list left and right. And that made it really, really easy.
Yeah. So we're not talking about the ruthless prioritization here. We're talking about other stuff that mimics that, or that you, that your brain thinks is like, oh, I have to get this done, when it's like, you know, no, I can wait a few days on that, or, you know, I can wait a week on that and I don't have to get it done today. It's fine to put it off a little bit. Right.
Yeah, and I actually got, it was funny, the thing that triggered me to do this was I actually got this funny email from a guy who was a client of mine, and he'd sent me this email in the morning, and I for a while there, I was one of these like compulsive email responders, and like I felt like I got to get back really fast, and I don't know why I was like that. Like, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Spaceballs, but like, you know, when they say, take us to ludicrous speed, that's kind of like what my clock was on email response, and so I sent him an email response like 3 hours later, which is not the end of the world, and I started my email with, hey, sorry, man, it took me so long to respond to you, blah, 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 and then I wrote what I wrote. And he sends me an email back and he says, yeah, I think I have a sense for your wiring that you thought you needed to apologize for taking 3 hours to respond to my email. And I was like, ah, yeah, there you go. I'm like, that's way too urgent. There was no need for it. The only person that was creating that stress around that email was me. Right?
Yeah.
And so anyway, so it was a really good example that helped me be like, I don't need to be doing that. And that basically really, really helped me even reduce the things that could end up on my list of things to do.
PowerDot is the world's smartest muscle recovery and performance tool. It uses different electrical hertz ranges to activate specific muscle fibers, forcing them to contract. Why do you need to increase the number of muscle fibers that contract, you ask? Simply put, so you can jump higher, lift more, run longer, and recover faster. And PowerDot helps you do just that. It's a personal e-stim device that connects to a mobile app via Bluetooth, so you can take it with you anywhere. PowerDot's eStim benefits can also help prevent injury by activating muscles before you work out, train, or compete. PowerDot also reduces soreness, knots, strains, and pulls from workouts or stresses brought on by everyday life. I recently got my own PowerDot device, and although I've only had a chance to use it a couple of times, I already love it. In fact, I used it earlier today after my chest workout at the gym and felt great about half hour after using its muscle recovery mode. I can't wait to see how much this adds to my post-workout recovery times and decreases my soreness, especially on leg days. Yep, PowerDot is awesome, and I'm pumped to have my own at-home unit. And now, you can get your own at-home unit for performance and muscle recovery, too. PowerDot is giving my listeners a chance to win a PowerDot unit. Go to PowerDot.com/EliteMan for more info on how to enter, and use the code EliteMan at checkout to get 20% off your order. That's PowerDot.com/EliteMan for your chance to win, and remember to enter my code EliteMan to get 20% off your order. That's PowerDot.com/EliteMan, and don't forget to enter EliteMan at checkout for 20% off your order.
Yeah, that's a good one too. That, I mean, the email is a killer, and you know, even other things like text messages or Snapchat messages, like things like
that
drives people crazy. Like your stress level goes through the roof, thinking, you know, you have to respond to this within a very timely manner, like in the next couple minutes. And you know, the email thing, I just kind of, I'll go through emails too, and you know, 3 hours is or you thought it was bad for you. It's like, yeah, I go 3 days all the time without emailing people back, but that's just the schedule I'm on now. I used to be like you too. Like I would email people right away, like within the minute and a couple of minutes after, you know, messages. I didn't want to, you know, go back and forth or make it think like I wasn't interested in whatever they were offering or whatever the email was about. But it's like now I kind of just batch those together, and it's like I have a time where I'll go through emails. I'll set aside half hour, and then bang out a bunch of them. But it's like I'm not going to go back and forth all day long for the same thing when you know, it's a time suck. It really is.
Well, it's not only is it a time suck, but it actually, to the point we were talking about earlier, it has no impact on your ability to do your work successfully. And in fact, it actually goes the other way around. So like, and from a work-life balance perspective, this is a funny story. This was like a year ago when I first started this whole transformation. I was taking my 2.5-year-old son to swimming lessons at the YMCA. And I was such a compulsive email checker that I dropped him off at the pool. And then I ran into the locker room to check emails on my phone while going to the bathroom because like I had to do it. And then I ran back out, and it's almost ridiculous. Like, I had this surrealistic view. Like, as I came back out, everybody's getting out of the pool, and his teacher's walking him up to me, and she's like, yeah, you pooped in the pool. And I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding. So, like, my kid just caused a mass, like, exodus from the YMCA pool for detoxification. And I was in the locker room hiding, trying to check my emails on my cell phone. Man. It was ridiculous, right?
That is horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Yeah, so, but it's so telling of the time that we're in right now, that, you know, 2018 and going forward, it's like, you know, singularity is right around the corner. We're so addicted to being on our phones and technology. It's crazy. What are you doing right now to ensure that you're not, you know, making that same mistake and having another pool exodus or something of the sort?
Yeah, I called it, you'll appreciate this, living in Patriots land. I called it Poopgate. That's how I started. So, you know what I did? I've done a lot of things, and it gets to the whole boundaries thing too, the other trap that I was telling you about. I actually did a few things. To your point, I said, you know, at first I'm turning off all my social media notifications, and then I will choose when I go in. I will not let it treat me like a Pavlovian dog and like respond to it, which I always did. It was amazing. And then I actually started this concept of strict compartmentalization. And what I started to do, and that helped with the cell phone too, as part of this like boundaryless world that I was living in, like everything was coming at me from all angles all the time, and I was doing nothing to prevent it. And so I felt like I had to respond to everything all the time. And most people probably aren't as ridiculously bad as I was, but that's kind of the world I was living in. And so what I started to do is I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. If I got family time, like I'm blocking that out, and there is nothing that's penetrating that bubble. That's 100% family time. And that goes for work emails, work tasks, anything. That's family time. And then when I'm doing work time, like I'm fully dedicated to work. And like there was a belief that could we do that, especially in the age of technology? I mean, you joke around about singularity being right around the corner. But in the age of technology where literally everybody can get a hold of everybody all the time, you know, a lot of people I talk to about that concept of compartmentalization, they would say, well, are we going to kill our careers by compartmentalizing when the guy next to you is like, yeah, send me a text anytime and I'll respond, right? And so I was like, am I going to kill my career? Am I going to lose clients by doing this? And like I said, I lost no clients and lost no work, and everything just went fine. It was me creating some of these challenges for myself. So this notion of like compartmentalization, which a lot of people will tell you these days you can't do anymore because of the technology, I actually tried to see if you could, and you can. And so that's one of the things I do now. Like if I have work time, it's all work. If I got like no work time, it's all family time. It's all personal time. And I just don't let the two intersect anymore. And that's been hugely valuable because I enjoy my time with work and with my life all the much more, and I'm a lot better at it. So, and it feels a lot better. I don't do emails in the middle of stuff. Like I used to literally check email at the gym on the treadmill, and I wasn't the only one doing it because I heard people doing conference calls on the treadmill too. So that's one of the ways that I've gotten out of it.
Yeah, no, I've done that too. I've done different conference calls or meetings on doing a winding down on a treadmill or something. It's pretty ridiculous. Oh, yeah. But yeah, the thing is too, I've always thought, you know, personally, because I'm, you know, obviously thinking about this, I'm conscientious of the singularity thing and all this other stuff. But it's like, you know, being an entrepreneur, James, you know, too, it's like, you have to have some kind of, you know, social media presence or
be
on top
right.
of your emails. I'd love to honestly just put things down for like 2 or 3 months and like disappear and just go off the grid for a few months and do it like once a year, like where I would disappear for a few months. But right now I can't do that. I don't have, you know.
Well, I can't do it either.
Go ahead.
No, all I was going to say is like, I can't do it for that time frame either. But what I have found that you can do is there's nothing that's going to kill your entrepreneur. And I'm, you know, I've been an entrepreneur too for the last 10 years. And then I got, you know, all these dependents running around the house. But one of the things that I found though, is like for 4 hours, like blocking out a morning or an afternoon, you can totally do it. And I wasn't even willing to do that before. I just let it all in all the time. And actually for 4 hour blocks, it is totally doable. And it helps a lot. 1 or 2 months off the grid, none of us can do that are trying to build whatever we are for ourselves, like our businesses and our presence and all that other things. But for 4 hours, it totally works.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I do too now. That's, you know, what I've resorted to, and, you know, in the place where I'll go and do, you know, 2 hour break, 3 hour break, where I'll just take the phone, throw it on the charger, and disappear, you know, get away from that room for like, you know, a few hours, and then I'll go back to it. And that's cool. That's that a lot of people can't even do that much.
Exactly.
They have to have their phone on them all the time. They have to have the charger. You know, if it starts to get low on the battery, they have to have the charger with them so they can charge it in and keep it, you know, within eyesight. It's like you got to take a break from it. And it's a good stress relief. And like you said, it hasn't actually hurt your productivity at all, which is pretty incredible. If anything, it might have even helped it.
Well, it did. It actually, I mean, it's funny. One of the things you've probably seen some of this research, but there's a whole bunch of research out there about multitasking.
Yeah.
And if you've seen it, it's a farce, right? It's a fallacy. Multitasking doesn't exist. And I actually did a whole bunch of this research because I'm a horrific multitasker anyway. So I was kind of hoping they would say that it was a farce and so I could like validate myself. I mean, I can barely like send an email and be on a conference call at the same time, let alone deal with kids. And so this whole notion of the cell phone actually kind of forces us into feeling like we can and should multitask, right? So when you put it aside, you can actually do what some of these, you know, researchers call like single tasking, which is like just dive into one thing and execute the hell out of it and be super productive at it. And then you can actually get more done than when you were trying to like, you know, delude yourself that you were actually multitasking, which you weren't doing in the first place.
Yeah. No, there is something to that. There's something to the fact that our brains can only focus on one thing at a time and really focus on that. And then, like, you know, these people, it's pretty funny, too, these people that have, like, and I'm not knocking anybody either because, you know, I know a lot of people that do this, but there's people that have, like, those three screens, and it's basically, like, you know, they're trying to multitask, and on those three screens is, like, 20 tabs open on each one of them, so they got, like, 60 things going on.
That's my
crazy.
Wife.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, that's my wife. I come in and I look at her computer and I'm like, I'm going to have an aneurysm. I can't even look at your laptop.
Yeah, it is insane. I got the one computer and a lot of the time there's like 10 tabs open as well. So, you know, I'm doing the same thing, but I can't even imagine having to do more than that, like three things operating. It's crazy. So the next thing you talk about is the no buffer zone. How does that differ from the undefined boundaries? Sounds a little similar.
Yeah, so what no buffer zone, it's interesting. It's a good point. They're kind of related. But what no buffer zone was basically looking like for me is, you know, if I looked at my daily calendar, it was just one thing stacked on another. Whereas the boundaries was just everything kind of coming in with no, like, mechanism for, like, categorizing them into work or life. And so the no buffer zone is basically like if I had something from 8 to 9, then I had something from 9 to 9:30. Then I had something from 9:30 to 10:30. And like there was literally zero space in between it. And part of it was because I had so many things I was trying to do. But I actually went and talked to a whole bunch of people and we looked at a lot of people's calendars and they all looked like that. It's just like rack and stack all day long.
Yeah.
And one of the people said to me, they're like, you know what is interesting in my company? And this expands way beyond just their company, but they're like, God, we always plan for the best case scenario. And then when that doesn't happen, it's like a disaster. Like it's a cascading effect on everything else. And so that was essentially how I was living my work and life. Like I would just have this calendar full of stuff that had only best case scenarios. And when it didn't happen, which was every single day, then I became stressed like I was a snowball rolling down a hill, totally out of control. And so that's the no buffer zone.
Yeah. So that's actually is why I think I started cutting back on putting like those 15 to 20 things on my list every day, because I was noticing that a lot of those things were going unfulfilled because they were stacked right on top of each other. I didn't give myself a little extra cushion to maybe go a little over, you know, time on one, and then not give myself enough time to start another one. And then, like you said, it overwhelms you, frustrates you, because you know you're not taking these things down. You're trying to be that Superman, like back to step one. Or tip number one is, you know, trying not to be Superman, but you have all these things going on, and then your morale decreases, and you get frustrated,
That's right.
Stressed out, and the next thing you know, you're pulling your hair out, thinking, why the hell didn't I get these things done?
No, that's exactly it, and then it just totally facilitates next thing thinking, that chasing time concept, because if I got something from 9 to 10, and I used to do this all the time, and it's like 9:40 now, and I'm not done with it, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I got that thing at 10 and I'm starting to think about that thing. And then, so now I'm like doing nothing well, right? Is what basically was happening.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. So what do we got? Constant triage. What is that about? And how did you fix that?
Yeah, so that one's just living reactively, right? And for me, one of the ways I fixed it was I did two things. One was I actually did the day in the life document where I sat down and I wrote down a day in my life because I was living my life without really having a plan for it. And that became super apparent when I realized I was running across town between the leadership team meeting that I was facilitating and my kid's swimming lesson in the same day. It was just, what was I doing? And so, and one of the things that I actually implemented was, and this will sound almost like ridiculously basic, is I put in first thing in the morning an hour of planning time every single day. And it wasn't that I was a bad planner before. In fact, that was always something I was really good at. Like at work, I was always like ahead of the game because I always planned out how I was going to do what I was going to do. But something weird happens, like at least it happened to me and lots of other dads I was talking to. When you become a dad, it's you're still good at doing the planning you were doing, but you didn't evolve your planning to account for everything else going on in your life, mainly, you know, the unpredictability of kids. And so I found myself constantly in this reactive mode, and it was usually around the house. And I was like, why is that happening? And it was because I wasn't planning for the stuff outside of work. And then it was starting to all get interfered with. So I found that if I just allocated an hour and thought about, okay, what's got to happen for work today? And then what are the things that are going to happen with the kids and the family that I need to plan for so I can somewhat be, like my wife always tells me, be 10 steps ahead. I'm not that good. I'm good at being like 2 steps ahead, but it's better than I used to be. Then I kind of think about like, okay, what do I need to do to make sure we don't have a disaster on this front or this thing over here goes well? And that helped me get out of what I called like constant triage mode, where I felt like I was just reacting to everything in survival mode.
Yeah, that's a good one too. That actually goes to hand in hand with the other one, which was to having the buffer zone, giving yourself a little more time, and then also planning for the unpredictability of the day-to-day life, especially when you got kids.
That's right.
I have little nephews that come over every once in a while. Actually all the time. I mean, they're over all the time, and they, you know, I love spending time with them. So they'll eat away at a lot of my days to, you know, a lot of my planning for that day. But it's like good because now I'm like factoring that in, like, oh, if they come over today, then yeah, I'll spend an hour, a couple hours with them. It's not a big deal. But before it was like, oh shit, you know, I'm checking my watch every couple minutes. Like, oh, you know, I got to get back on task.
That's exactly.
But yeah, it's a lot better when you're planning for that ahead of time. And like you, actually, unlike you, I'm a pretty terrible planner. But, you know, using this little thing, this little trick has helped me a lot.
Yeah. And what I always tell people is, you know, my wife always says, God, people at work, they tell you you're really quick and quick to respond. I'm like, yeah, I got them fooled. I am not quick. I am slow. but I'm a really good planner. So I've literally planned for everything they could possibly say. And that makes me look quick. So it's the same thing with like the kids. My wife used to laugh at me. She's like, when they do something that's unpredictable, you stand there and you're like paralyzed. And so, yeah, now that I have this planning time, I can almost predict what they're going to do. So I can actually react without being totally like, you know, the hamster in the wheel not going anywhere in my head.
Yeah, that's funny. It's not the same thing too, but it just reminded me of one of my buddies, Chris. There's a shout out to him. He listens to the show as well. But he came over a few weeks back, and you know, when I'm writing my schedule out for the next day, I'm basically thinking of all the things that could happen the next day, or what I'm most likely, like 90%, going to do. Obviously, things change or whatever. But we talked a few days before about going to the gym on a certain day together. And as much as I love working out with my buddy, him and another friend, those workouts aren't as efficient, you know, with time as when I go by myself, of course, you know,
talking
and kind of messing around. So I put him on the list of, you know, working out with, I wrote all this thing down. He happened to come over a few days later and then see the list. And he was like, you know, just, oh, what's this? And I was like, oh, I planned it out. And he's like, oh, you put my name on here. And I'm like, yeah. And it was like two and a half hours or something on gym time. And normally it's like an hour. He's like, what the hell is this about?
He's like, dude, you talk a lot.
Yeah, I'm like, dude. You're long-winded. Your stories are very long-winded. You know, extra hour and a half for you. I'm planning for the for all the long stories you're going to tell me. But
well, at least you plan for the buffer zone. That's good.
Yeah, and then he was like, "Oh, at least I'm happy. At least I'm on your list." So I'm like, "I'm making time for you, buddy."
Yeah, there you go.
But all right. So what else we got? We got chasing time. Is that we mentioned that before? Is that kind of go along with this as well? Is like the emails and you know, going from one thing to the next, kind of going crazy with the time?
Yeah, I mean, so what I started to realize once I started like going at these 8 traps was that it's more like they're not independent traps. It's like a system. You know what I mean? And there's like root causes that cause others. So like, for example, the way it played out for me was, and this will get us real fast to chasing time, but if I have the superhero syndrome and I'm trying to do everything and I have artificial urgency and everything is urgent, I'm now every day adding more stuff to my list to do. When you combine that with undefined boundaries, now everything's coming in all the time, which results in no buffer zone and the inevitability of constant triage, which then puts me in a place where I'm constantly chasing time. Does that make sense? That's kind of how it like played out.
Yeah.
So when I started fixing the others, like when I said, okay, fine, I'm going to ruthlessly prioritize. I'm only going to do mission critical things. I'm going to like use urgency filters to make sure I'm not making things more urgent than they are, which made fewer things for me to have to do. When I then strictly compartmentalized, I was much more efficient and focused, which then allowed for me to actually have more buffer time. And then I formally added like 50% time to things to make sure I was like allowing for that. That took me out of triage mode. And then by the time I got to trying to address this notion of like chasing time or next thing thinking, even though it was a habit, because next thing thinking can be a total habit. If you've been doing it for like 10, 15 years, you're constantly like pre-programmed to be thinking about the next thing. But what I found was all I had to do was change that habit versus that next thing thinking happening because I had all this stuff that I was trying to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it definitely makes sense. And you know, a lot of things, I find too, a lot of things in life are connected, and they may not appear to be connected in the beginning, initially when you start something, but once you start like knocking down pillars that are holding up, you know, the major issue, the major problem of something, everything starts to fall in place from that point forward. And so,
That's right. So you're saying
that the chasing time thing kind of just went away when you started pushing, you know, or getting these other traps knocked out of the way.
Yeah, it started to go away, but the problem was it was a habit. So like I had been chasing time for so long that even when I didn't need to, I kind of was doing it. Like my mind would wander into the next thing because I was so used to doing that. So I just kind of had to reinforce in myself this concept of like, you know, be here now. It was actually a mantra of this company that I used to work for. And at the time, I just thought it was just like a cheesy company slogan. But I actually started applying it. I was like, just be in the moment. Like, just remind yourself to be in the moment of what you're actually doing. And ironically, that's when like work-life balance felt most balanced, or does for me today. Like when I just remind myself to be in the moment, like doing this podcast right now, I'm not thinking about like what's happening at 3 o'clock. I'm not thinking about what happened before. Like we're doing this and that's really cool. And then when I move to the next thing, because I have enough buffer zone and I'm not trying to do 1,000 things, I can just be focused on that. And so that kind of started to happen on its own, but I still have to remind myself to do it. Like I still find myself walking the dog thinking about emails. I'm like, I shouldn't be doing this. I should just be walking the dog. It's okay.
Yeah. No, that's pretty cool. And yeah, I'm a big fan of Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now.
Yeah.
You know, guys like Dan Millman who teach the same type of thing where it's just living in the moment, embracing everything you have right now. It's all we have, you know, worrying about the past will cause, or thinking about the past can cause depression, and worrying about the future can cause anxiety. So, you know, living in the moment right now, just it's a place of content.
Yeah. And that actually made me feel really balanced, especially once I did all the other things that we've talked about. Cause then I was like, great, I can actually enjoy this 30 minutes of whatever it is I'm doing, work or life. And like, it's cool. That's all I'm thinking about. And that's awesome.
Yeah. I think so many entrepreneurs, that's probably the one thing so many entrepreneurs neglect in terms of work-life balance, is that living in the moment thing. They're always trying to, and I get it too. Like I fall into this too myself all the time, but it's like, that's the one big thing I think to just take away is having that balance of living in the moment and then enjoying, you know, the grind of it. Also, you can enjoy the grind, but also enjoying the, you know, the calmness of it all, and the family life and the friends and that stuff too. It's like, you know, you don't have to be go, go, go all the time, or, you know, grinding and hustling to make $1 million just because, you know, you think you have to make $1 million or you want the nice cars and all that stuff. You can enjoy it and sit back and be a little more patient with it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. I mean, and that's, you know this, if as an entrepreneur, you can work 7 days a week. And, you know, and when you're the person bringing in the revenue, and in my family, I'm the sole financial provider, so there's pressure there too. You know, you can work all the time. And so that's where a lot of this stuff started to kind of come from, is, hey, you don't have to your point. I think it's a really good point. Like, you don't have to, and you just have to make decisions about what your most important priorities are and accept the trade-offs of those priorities. And then you can actually really enjoy the time of whatever you're doing.
Yep, love it. All right, a couple more here. We got late nights. This will definitely help me out. What did you do to fix that?
Well, you know, it's funny. Like, I'm not incredibly good late night anyway, but I would do it just because I have my list and I got to finish. I mean, I used to sit there doing like PowerPoints at 10, 11 at night, which may not be that late for some people, but for me, I was like, I'm not even functional. Yeah. But I would do it. But what I started to do actually was I did an experiment, and it actually came from this CEO that I talked to, who was like at the end of his career, and he had this philosophy on work-life balance, and I asked him about it. And he said, you know what, I remember this time when I was younger in my career, and like I would finish getting the kids to bed, and then my wife would go to bed, and I'd be up there doing all these emails late at night. And I came to bed one night, and she's like, what are you doing? He's like, I got to respond to all these, like, they're deals, they're all these things. And he said, you know what, when I look back on that, 95% of those could have been done the next day. Like, I didn't need to do them that night. And so I kind of took that philosophy and said, what would happen if I shut it off at, this is going to sound like a ridiculous time to you maybe, but what if I shut it off at 8:30 and got my, and like literally put my laptop away, like I hid it from myself and like, you know, got it out of my mind, moved my phone, plugged it in, put it away, and then said, you know what, let's get up with the Dawn Patrol. Let's be that guy. And that's what I started doing. I kind of created a shutoff time. Now, mine's ridiculously early, and I get it. A lot of people joke around that I go to bed earlier than the kids, but I'm not sure that's the case, but it's close. But so I do that. I just shut it down at a certain time, knowing how much sleep I need, because I'm one of those adults that still needs a lot of sleep. And then I get up with the Dawn Patrol. Like, I'll get up at 4:30 or 4:45, and that may seem absolutely crazy to some people. But if I go to bed early enough, that's not hard to do. And man, those first 3 hours of the day, even though I often still give my alarm clock the middle finger when it goes off at that time, 15 to 20 minutes into it, I'm like, wow, I'm loving the silence. There's nobody up and I'm ahead of things. And for the next 3 hours, I like crank. And then by the time people are up, I'm like, hey man, I feel like I'm like the army guy. You know, I get more done by 9 a.m. than people get done all day. That's what I feel like. And then the rest of the day is like a coast. It's been pretty awesome.
Yeah, honestly, that's where I want to be at some point in my life. Maybe, you know, maybe it'll take a couple of years before I get to that point, but that is awesome. It feels, because even now, waking up, like I said, I've been cutting it back lately and trying to get up earlier. Even now, when I get things done earlier in the day, for some reason, it feels like I'm more productive. Even though, if you look at things, I'm basically doing the same amount of work I was doing before. And I think, yep, you know, perhaps in the future, it will change, so I will be more productive. But I don't think necessarily right now it's changed dramatically where I'm getting so much more done. But it feels better to me. For some reason, it feels better, and it feels like I'm getting more things done. Because, you know, it might just be that we're supposed to be more, you know, in sunlight, and I'm getting actually more sun by waking up earlier.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny? I started timing myself. I was like curious because all the research says you're much more efficient in the morning. But there's a lot of people, and you were saying it earlier, that, you know, there's this creative thing late at night. And I used to be a former studio musician, and we never played early in the morning. It was always late at night. Yeah. And so, like, I started timing how long it took me to do like normal business things, like a presentation or thinking about a strategy. And I cut my time down. I was actually more efficient, like literally by about a third. So I was a third faster in the morning and probably did it better. Although, you know, quality, who knows? I mean, but I was faster at it. And so I was able to get more done and then create more space for myself later. And it became this actual positive snowball effect.
Yeah, that is. And the funny thing is, too, is like you said, that those late nights for you are definitely not late for me. I'm looking at like, you know, you're getting you're still kind of hitting that creative zone, so to speak, where you're getting up like 4 to 7 and working. Where, you know, if I'm staying up late, it's like I'm staying up 2 to 4, and I'm kind of in that same zone, you know, give or take, is like that creative side. So you're still getting that, just doing it in the, you know, the complete opposite way.
That's exactly right. And I have to do it that way because the kids wake up early, right? Yeah. And so if I stay up to that zone late that next night, then I get no break because the kids are up and we're rolling, right? So that's how I've had to figure it out. And a lot of, you know, a lot of dads are in the same boat. It's like your kids have a schedule and they dictate what it is, not you.
I hear that. I hear that a lot, man. I'm just looking forward to that at some point.
It's fun. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, you get used to it. And I think, you know, overall, it's definitely worth it to make that
sacrifice. Oh, without a doubt.
So.
Without a doubt. It's the coolest thing I've ever done, having kids.
All right, last one we got is leaving yourself out. Can you talk about that real quick?
Yeah, so that's quite simply when you got a million things for work and for your life, it's easy, especially once kids come into the picture, to like forget about all the cool stuff you used to do for yourself that like gave you what you needed to kind of rejuvenate you. And for me, it was like snowboarding. I was an ex-musician, I think I told you, going to the gym and things like those things all totally fell by the wayside for me because there just wasn't enough time. And what was interesting about my little year-long attempt to fix this was I actually started with that and it failed miserably. Like I said, you know what? God damn it. I'm going to take piano lessons if it kills me. And I would do it on top of everything else I was doing. And it was awesome. What was funny is the first month, it was so cool because I was like 30 minutes. I got to play piano. I zoned out. I was super into it and I felt better. But it just wasn't sustainable because I hadn't fixed any of the other problems yet, so it totally fell apart. Once I fixed all these other things and actually had space, then I was able to actually implement. And I just said, look, my strategy was I'm going to implement one rejuvenating activity for myself and whatever it is for me, right? And for me, it happened to be piano lessons in the gym. That's what I've been doing. For others, it's anything else that like helps you kind of get back the energy that you need to do the rest of the stuff you got to do for the day. But I was surprised at how many people I talked to that weren't doing that, myself included. And it's just putting that back in. And then it kind of bolsters your energy significantly, way more than I thought it would.
Yeah. Yeah. There is something about that, like that self-care side of, you know, just giving yourself time, an hour, half hour a day to do something you enjoy, whether that's
just for you.
Yeah, yeah, I've been doing guitar. I play guitar periodically. I put it down, though, for a few years. But, last couple months, I kind of picked it back up again. It's like, you know, just half hour a day. And, you know, you get caught up in this, oh, I have to get this done. I have to do this. And, you know, this small business owner, entrepreneur, yeah. It's like there's so many things to do. But it's like give yourself an hour. Give yourself half hour to just have some fun and have some you time.
That's exactly right. And that's what I found was super helpful. But the cautionary tale is, if you got the other problems and try to do what I did, which was like go to your pain point first, which was I never do anything for myself anymore, it can't possibly be successful. You have to do the other things. If you have those problems, then you create the time and the space that you need, and you can actually put in a 30 minutes or an hour just for yourself. And that's what I've been doing lately. I've been getting to the gym more again. I've been playing my piano, and I feel like generally I know I got that time every day. So even if it's a really crazy day, I still have that time, and it's awesome.
Love it. That's probably my most, that's probably my favorite one out of all of them. I mean, they're all really good, but that's probably my favorite one. James, I know you got to run in a minute. Just kind of putting it all together though, what is the biggest takeaway that you want guys to walk away with from today's episode? What is the biggest thing in terms of work-life balance that you want guys to know?
Well, I think there's two things. I think the first thing is don't go read a lot of the articles that are out there telling you it's not possible because there's a lot of them out there. And like part of the reason I did this was to say, look, I think it is. There's got to be a way to do this. A lot of work-life balance is actually within our individual control. And that might have been the biggest lesson that I learned, that thinking that we couldn't do it. But these eight traps that we just talked about, they're all things that like I can control and I can make decisions around. And so what I found is, one, it's possible. You just have to make decisions and priorities and accept the implications of those priorities. So if like, for example, when I decided that I wanted to spend 60% of my time with my kids and 40% working, that meant that I was not going to have my company be in growth mode anymore. And that was an implication I had to accept, that like 3 years ago, I never would have even been able, that would have been like total blasphemy. So it's kind of this notion of like, hey, you can do it, you can control it. And then you just make decisions and live with the implications of them. And it's totally doable. My life's like way better. It's a constant journey though. Like I still have to work on it literally every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, there's a lot of things that go into this. There's eight traps to fall victim to on this road of, you know, this entrepreneurial road. If you're missing even a couple of these, you know, it can throw you off kilter.
Yeah.
But, you know, going through this list, this checklist, I think it's very solid. I think it's very applicable to so many listeners out there. And even if you're not an entrepreneur, but just a regular, you know, everyday worker, you know, you have a boss or whatever, and you go to, you know, punch the clock 9 to 5, you can still benefit from a lot of these tips, a lot of these strategies. It's going to help, you know, across the board in terms of balancing the work and the life aspect of happiness and content with family, friends, et cetera. I love it, man. It was a pleasure to have you on. But before we go, last send-off takeaway message for the Elite Man audience, and then a place that our listeners can check out your book and your work.
Yeah, so you can go check out my book on Amazon. Again, it's Out of the Blur, Delirious Dad's Search for the Holy Grail of Work-Life Balance. You can go check out my my website, which is just my name, jamessudikow.com. I also created a work-life index. It's like a quiz. There's about 14 or 15 questions you can answer that help you kind of see which of these you might have and which of them you don't, which a lot of people that I've talked to have found really helpful because it gave them an idea of where to hone in on stuff and where they don't need to spend their time. Go if you want to check out the quiz. It's a really cool way to very quickly kind of gauge where you are and what you can kind of focus on.
Cool. And the quiz is on what?
It's on my website. Yeah.
Okay. Homepage.
Yep.
JamesSudikow.com. All right, guys. James, thanks again, man, for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. I know our guys are going to love this. I know me personally got a lot out of this episode myself, so I'm going to implement some of your strategies. And of course,
oh, cool, man. Yeah,
I'm really looking forward to finishing that book. I told you it was awesome just going through the first, you know, few pages of it. I just got it a few days ago, but man, it's awesome writing style. Love your style. Love these tips even more. And yeah, man, take care. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on. It was awesome.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast interviews with all of our incredible world-class guests from the lifestyle, health, fitness, business, and social worlds absolutely free. Subscribe now, guys, if you haven't already, and enjoy all future episodes. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an awesome review. We really do appreciate it.